And whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. And that's from Isaiah chapter 30. It's not the scripture I'm speaking on, but it's a reminder that God's purposes for us have always been that he will provide a way and we are responsible to walk or for walking in that way. So today is an intro to Going for Growth. Some of you will have seen the emails come round, that just two of them, that have talked about Going for Growth, which is a theme we're launching. And it's going to last about a year in the church where we really focus on this area of growth. But more detail later. Today is just an intro. And so today I'd like us to consider growth. I'd like us to consider our own growth and development in every important area of our lives. And I'd like us to begin to explore a route map for that journey, this journey to growth, this pathway for growth. And it's described by Jesus in just 10 words. Yes, this route map, this pathway is described by Jesus in 10 simple words. But as with any map, we need to be able to read it properly if we're going to get the right details and the right directions for the journey. But we'll get to that in a little while. Let's begin by asking God to show us something today as we listen or as we think or as we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Let's ask God to show us something about ourselves, about areas in our lives where we still need to experience growth. I'm asking us not to do what comes natural, and that's to look at others and decide how they need to grow. That's not what we're doing. Lord, we pray that you would meet with us now and that our hearts and minds would be open to you, Holy Spirit, to lead us through our own lives, to see the areas where you would still have us grow and develop and mature. Are there any areas in my life, in your life, where your journey with Jesus seems to be no steps forward, no steps back? In other words, pretty stagnant, or worse, no steps forward, many steps back. Have you ever been there? Now, you may not have heard, but Linda and I have collected, as it were, two new grandchildren during lockdown. And we love getting pictures, especially videos of them. Honestly, we can't wait to receive them. And if we go more than a few days, we start to say, where's the pictures? And these two new grandchildren, they just both look and sound so cute. They really do, but I would say that. Now then, if we were getting videos of them in 10 years' time, and they still looked so cute and sounded like babies, well, there's a problem. That's not normal. Something has gone wrong. What does our Father see and hear as he looks and listens to us compared to last week, last month, last year, or the last decade? Now, this pathway to growth that Jesus outlines, some people have an issue with this passage. But they don't know they have an issue. Aren't they just the worst kind? The issues we don't know we've got because we can't see them, but everybody else can. Now, this issue happens when they read this passage. That's the passage we haven't read yet, but we're going to. And they assume it's only talking about one thing. They assume that it's telling us about Jesus as the only way to the Father, the only way to be saved. Which it is, but they assume that's all it's telling us. You know, it only applies to those who aren't yet saved, so not really to me. We've been there, we've done that, we've got the t-shirt. They think it's only talking about the first step on this journey to growth, rather than it being the whole journey. Now, there's something that we've heard so often, if we've listened to anything about the elections, if you could bear to listen to any more of it, we've heard this phrase, we need to build trust. It's easy to say, so easy to say. But this is exactly what Jesus says when he starts to talk to his friends on this occasion. He tells them that they are going to go somewhere, that he has already been there, and that he's made all the necessary preparations for their arrival. But because Jesus knows he's about to launch into something that's hard to understand and hard to accept, he starts by saying this, look, guys, you know how to trust God, yeah? Well, you're going to need to trust me in exactly the same way on this. In other words, he's saying, this needs trust. This needs trust to be built, your trust in me. And he is, of course, right, as it turns out. Wouldn't he always be? They are clueless as to what he means, straight over their heads. But one of them plucks up the courage to say, Jesus, we really haven't got a clue what you're talking about. Okay, I've paraphrased that a little bit there, but that's in essence what is said. So Jesus gives them an insight. He gives them an insight into something that they can already see, but they're not recognizing what they're seeing. So here's the incident I'm talking about. Thanks, Ed.
Don't let this rattle you. You trust in God, yes? Then trust me. There is plenty of room for you in my Father's home. If that wasn't true, I wouldn't have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you. And if I'm on my way to get your room ready, I'll come back and get you so that you can live where I live. And you already know the way I'm taking. Thomas said, Jesus, we have no idea what you're on about or where you're going. How do you expect us to know the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one gets to the Father if they're not with me. If you know me, you know my Father as well. I assure you, you do know him. You've even seen him. Philip said, Jesus, really, what are you talking about? Just show us the Father, then we'll be happy. Philip, you've been with me all this time. You've seen, but not recognized. So you are struggling to understand. To see me is to see the Father.
Thanks, Ed. Many of you will know that that reading is from John 14. So let's get to the heart of it. The key phrase for opening up our understanding of this scripture occurs right at the end of that reading. You have seen, but not recognized. And the specific bit of that scripture we're going to focus on is John 14, 6. When Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me, which is as the NIV puts it. Now, if you've ever looked at this and thought a little about it, and you've thought, this is just about, you know, one thing, it's clear. People can only be saved by believing in Jesus. If that's all we think it's about, then we have seen but not recognized the fullness of what Jesus is telling us about our journey to growth and maturity in him. In these 10 words, I am the way and the truth and the life, Jesus is giving us a route map for a Christ-like life. So let's take a closer look. Firstly, let's notice the and between each statement. Small word, big meaning. It's telling us that these three things, way, truth, and life, are not just three unconnected words in this sentence. in terms of impact and power, there's a cumulative effect. In other words, as it dawns on us and we experience what the way is, we begin to understand and experience the added significance of what the truth is. And then we begin to discover and experience what life really is. In other words, the journey just gets better and better, more and more transformational, packed with opportunities to grow at every turn. So let's look at those 10 words. I am the way. Well, the Greek word used here for way means road or route or path or way. In other words, the way that is traveled, the road that is traveled, or the route that is traveled. So it means the journey that we are on. That's the way. And it also means, metaphorically, the way in which we conduct ourselves on that journey, the way we think, the way we make decisions. So it's a word that's packed. It's loaded with meaning. And I think that's what Jesus wants his followers to understand and to unpack about this route map to growth. Linda and I recently went for a walk in Teesdale. It started on tarmac. It became a wide but rough farm track. It got narrower and it got more difficult underfoot as we progressed. The small river to one side of us was going deeper and deeper down into a very steep-sided gorge. And on the other side, there were fir trees on steep hills going up and up and up. And then the track appeared to just stop. We could tell that the gorge turned a corner into what might have been a series of pools and waterfalls, and I had to find out. But after looking a little harder for the way, we did see it, but honestly, it wasn't that obvious, and I had to look more than once to see if it was actually passable. Now, there was only one way onto this little track. And you literally physically had to lower yourself down onto a track that was cut into the side of an almost sheer hillside. And at its widest, it was no more than 12 inches, and there was no fence, and there was a vertical drop down into this gorge. So I had to make a decision. Was I going to start off on that track and go and find out where it led? Well, I decided yes. I have to say Linda decided no. That's not indicative of our respective walks with Jesus, but on this occasion, I decided yes, and off I went. And it was a series of pools and waterfalls, and in my view, it was well worth the journey on that 12-inch path. When Jesus says that he is the way, he's not saying that he's simply an example to follow or to copy, although he is saying that. But if you think about it, he says, I am the way. I am the actual pathway. Now, I don't even know how that's possible. It's one of those areas to me that's a bit of a mystery. It makes little human sense. I am the path that you will walk. I'm the actual way. But I'm trusting that he is. And I'm trusting that as we take a decision to set out, he will make it more and more clear what that means. I'm trusting him on that. And we're all asked to trust Jesus on that one. We're asked to trust that he will provide us with everything we need to follow him and to walk with him along that path that he claims to be. And he promises that's what will happen. He will give us the mindset, the attitude, the wisdom, the gifts, the skills, and the strength to journey with him along that way. But we can only begin that journey when we trust that Jesus is the only access to that path. When we make the decision to get onto that path, to trust him with our whole life, only then do we begin the journey of a lifetime. Now, trust isn't just in our head. Trust is active belief. Trust is lived out belief. Trust is belief that's put into practice in our daily lives. It's always a step of faith. and it nearly always appears to contain some risk. But from that point on, that journey with Jesus begins to shape us. It begins to transform us. It challenges us. It strengthens us. It matures us. It empowers us. In short, it's our route to growing more Christ-like. It's our route to growth and maturity. Our trust grows with each step we take with Jesus. Even when we get knocked back, we experience how he and those he's put around us pick us back up and encourage us. Our mindset and our thoughts begin more and more to resemble Jesus' mindset and thoughts. Our focus and our priorities lead us away from those things that distract us on this journey, and they focus us on Jesus. Our attitudes set us in the right direction, towards Jesus, not away from Jesus. We gain wisdom for living and serving. We develop skills, and we are given gifts to equip us. And we're given the strength to persevere. So in each of those areas, our mindset, you know, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ, our wisdom. The Bible says that Christ is our wisdom and righteousness, the strength, the gifts. We're told in the word that he gives gifts by his Holy Spirit. Are we growing in each of these areas, in any of these areas? Or are we treading water? Are there any areas in our life in terms of growth and maturity and trust and following that need some attention right now? Let's move on with the route map. And I am the truth, Jesus goes on. Have you ever thought what strange language that is coming from a person? So they were hearing Jesus, the man, making a claim to actually be the truth. He's not saying, I am truthful, although he is that. He's not saying, I tell the truth, although he does that. He says, I am the truth. What does that mean? And how is it central to our growth? Well, the word used for truth has many shades of meaning, all of which are important, but none more so than the meaning we possibly don't know about. When Jesus says, he is the truth, the word he uses for truth literally means to unconceal. That's a bit of a strange word, to unconceal. So we know if you conceal something, you keep it hidden, you keep it secret. So if it's unconcealed, it's brought into full view, it's made known. So when Jesus says, I am the truth, primarily, in essence, he's saying, I fully and exactly and accurately and wonderfully and gloriously reveal God to you. I am God unconcealed. That's what Jesus is saying when he says, I am the truth. And as we journey with Jesus along this way, so the truth of who the Father is becomes greater and greater, more and more in our experience and our understanding. And this continuous increasing revelation of who God is and what he's like is always experienced with life transforming power. And so this way that Jesus invites us onto becomes a way that transforms us as God the Father is revealed to us more and more fully in and through Jesus. This is how we grow, as we experience and understand in our hearts and minds what God is like as Jesus reveals more of him to us, because he is the truth. You want to know what God is like? Get close to Jesus. You want to know how God acts? Watch Jesus. You want to know what God wants of us? Listen to Jesus. Jesus said, and this is the thing in you would blow their mind, by the way, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. What an amazing thing. If you've met me, you've met the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. If you are close to me, you are close to the Father. This is mind-blowing. How are we growing? in this is the Father and his words and his ways and his attitudes and his actions. Are they becoming more and more real in our day by day lived out belief? That's growth. In other words, as more of Jesus is seen in us, we're growing, we're trusting, we're faithful. Are there ways that we need to be growing and changing that enables more of Jesus' character to be seen in and through us? Let's just for a moment stop and ask that question of ourselves. Lord, are there ways in me where I need to be growing and changing to enable more of Jesus, more of his character, more of the Father's glory to be seen in and through us? I'm sure most of us know that scripture in Corinthians where Paul says that we will be changed and move from one degree of glory to another. We'll all reflect his glory. Jesus is the truth, the amazing revelation of God the Father to us in greater and greater measure as we journey with him along the way. And Jesus says, and I am the life. Well, there's life as Jesus means it, and there is being alive as nature means it, and they are very different. Everyone is alive, but not everyone is living in kingdom terms. So in nature, we're alive, we exist, but we don't really live as Jesus means it. The level of life, that level of full life, of life as God intends, life as the Father intends, is only given by Jesus to those who journey through life with him as their friend, with him as their guide and him as their Lord. In other words, the greater our priority is of becoming like him, the more we experience fullness of life and the closer and closer we get to him. That's where growth happens. That's where maturity happens. You see, Jesus is about more than just existing. Yes, God gives us actual biological life and God sustains biological life to everyone. But in Jesus, we find there are qualities of life that aren't found anywhere else. We find there is a fullness and a richness to life that is not found anywhere else. There's this sense of completeness, this knowledge of who we are, this meaning and this purpose to life that is not found and cannot be found anywhere or in anyone else. Jesus said, I came to give you life in all its fullness. Are we growing into that fullness of life? You see, that fullness, our experience of that fullness, is only limited by our desire to experience and live it, because Jesus said, I've already given fullness of life. Are we growing into that fullness of life that only Jesus offers? A few more questions to ask of ourselves as we finish. To what extent is his life, his character, part of our daily lived out belief? What changes need to happen in us for that to be increased? And how can those changes happen? And ask each of us to ask those questions to God, to the Holy Spirit, and then say, come Holy Spirit, and do the work only you can do, that we would start, continue, or accelerate our growth and maturity in Jesus. You say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not just a statement of fact. It's not a memory verse. It's a lifestyle. It's the route map to a way of living, of being fully alive in Jesus. Now, if you've ever used maps, and this is the end point, if you've ever used maps, you'll know that they come in different levels of detail. A good road atlas, for instance, will show you all the main roads and the towns and the general detail. And 1 centimetre on a good road map represents about 1.5 kilometres on the road. That's the scale. However, if you're a serious walker and you get serious walker's maps, then 1 centimetre can represent as little as 100 metres in real ground. That's a lot more detail. Now, as I've said, John 14:6 is a route map. It's a pathway to growth, to a lifestyle, but it's the road atlas. It gives us all the detail we need to get on the right way and to see all the important stuff ahead of us. But as we move forward, we'll get down to the more detailed map, other areas of scripture, other areas of the words Jesus speaks that really do encourage and enhance and accelerate the growth and the maturity that he's looking for and offers to each one of us. I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. Amen.